It's the Eye on the Illini podcast. In this episode, Illini Guys founder Mike Kegley talks to Flying Illini member Marcus Liberty and his podcast co-host Patrick Quinn of the Illinois Player Show on the Fan Media Network.
Hi there, and welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini Guy founder Mike Kegley, and tonight we have a very special episode. We're going to talk a little bit about the Illinois Players Show, and that is a video podcast that you can see, which has Patrick Quinn and Marcus Liberty on it. And so what we've got today is Patrick and Marcus were kind enough to come on the show, and we can talk a little bit about what they're doing with their podcast, as they are some of the Illini Guy friends. And certainly we want to support other folks who are out trying to help people get their addiction of getting as much Illini information as possible. And I will tell you that I have watched multiple episodes of this show, and I find it to be very entertaining. Obviously, Marcus and Patrick have a great relationship. You get a chance to watch the way they interact. And it makes me think right off the top, you know, I'm going to be asking questions about how these gentlemen met and find out how they got together to do such a good video podcast. But as we start here, first thing I have to do, I do have to tell people that coming from Mahomet, I am coming from the same city as Patrick, although he's from a much younger generation than I am, since I'm clocking in at 53. But Patrick, you and Marcus, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having us.
So I have to ask now, obviously, you know, Marcus Liberty, one of the Illini legends on the Flying Illini, we know that he's a huge draw for Illini fans. Patrick, how did you guys meet? And then how did you guys end up deciding to do a show together?
There's a lot of different things that come into play here, but the biggest thing was social media. We had talked on Twitter. We had also, like, that same time, the algorithms for Facebook popped up and said, hey, you might know Marcus Liberty. And I said, well, I know who the guy is for sure. I grew up wanting to be Marcus Liberty. I know I have friends that played at Illinois, friends that still work at Illinois in the sports information department. So I think he saw when I friended him that, yeah, this guy's legit. So I reached out to him. And then, like, a couple days later, he's sitting there watching highlights from when he was a, you know, Gatorade All-American. And just the, you know, when you're an athlete, you know you can remember special moments, special things that happened to you. The recall is there, right? Well, he had this video that he was watching on his TV, and it was like we were there in the moment. And I said, that's a story. That is a story. And he was talking about wanting to do a podcast. At the time, I was in charge at a radio station of all of our podcasts. And it happened to be the 30th anniversary of the Flying Illini. So I said, I got to reach out and do this. You know, as we say, the ball got rolling, right?
So Marcus, how did you react to all this?
You know, when I first got the inbox, you know, me and Patrick was mailing, you know, back and forth. He said, man, that was cool what you did, talking about yourself and explaining and breaking down the game while you were watching it. He said, I really like that. He said, man, and I know you want to do a podcast because I heard you say that you mentioned it on social media that you wanted to do a podcast. He said, I would love to, you know, talk to you about what I can do and maybe we can, you know, join hands and make something happen. So we started it and we called that one. It was called Give Me Liberty. You know, that was the podcast. And we started doing those and we were clicking. It wasn't like something was being forced. When you have someone like that and it's not being forced, you know you have something special.
Yeah, I made sure to do my homework on everything. I knew exactly where Marcus went to high school. He went to Martin Luther King High School in Chicago. I knew he didn't start there. Marcus, tell everybody where you started.
Crane High School.
Crane. I also was a fan of the Flying Illini, and so my recall of that era is where my fandom really came in. But I also respect Marcus, and I respect his privacy. So I think Marcus probably did a little bit more research on me to see that I was legit, and there was instant trust. And I made sure to tell him that when we do these podcasts, we need to tell a story. It needs to be a story. So I said, I need to find out how you got into basketball, where your love of it came from, who you trusted. I need to know how you got to Illinois. And that was going to be the genesis of the podcast. And then we were also going to go along with talking about that current team that year that weren't the best team. That was Georgie's freshman year. And the other thing we were going to do is feature Flying Illini members on the podcast. We only got to record four, and three were released before the radio station I worked at laid off about 13 of us right before Christmas. So, unfortunately, that podcast hit the brakes. And Marcus reached out to me several times and was like, let's still do this. I know you can do this. And the rest is history. I mean, I got to thank him for saying, let's do this Illinois Players Show. Look what it's done for us so far.
And I will tell you, it's entertaining when you guys get going together. You can tell that there's a friendship there. And the other thing is it's really hard to get that timing with somebody, especially when you're not in the same room. And you guys yeah. have that timing down perfectly where you're not walking all over each other, or you're not with those mile-long gaps, you know, that you'll see. And so I was kind of amazed as I listened to the show, because I was like, wow, you know, you think you grew up together the way you guys kind of got along. And
I thought that really was
neat how that came through. So I've had a chance and went through, and I'm a big podcast guy anyway. So what I do is when I find one, I'll go through and watch or listen to a ton of them just to make sure that I get a feel. And I think I have the collector gene. Growing up, I collected comic books, you know, and if you've got one, you want the whole series. And so I felt like, well, you got to listen to them all.
And oh, wow. Yeah.
Thanks. Well, it's a lot better with your show that has some moderate time limits. Don't ever do that with Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
No.
That guy goes 5.5 hours in an episode. And when I got caught up in that, that was a whole summer.
No doubt.
Night that I mowed the lawn or I got stuck doing anything on the honey-do list, it was pop the headphones in and try to get all of it done. When you're looking at the Players Show and you've taken a look at the travels that you've made as you've, you know, got this thing going and you're getting bigger and bigger viewership, where do you see it evolving to? And what are you, do you guys have any goals in mind from your standpoint as to like what, you know, I mean, there's no end point, obviously, but
no.
Where you want your journey to go?
There's an app for that, Fan Media Network. You can look up Marcus's name. You can look up mine. We both have the videos there. You can also go to Fan Media Network via YouTube, and you'll see our podcast pop up. It's the Illinois Players Show, because Marcus was the player, right? What my goal is to monetize it, to make sure that we also have some key sponsors along with it, because that's the goal. You want to keep it going. If there's going to be as many people as possible watching this show, that builds my credibility with fans. Marcus already has that with fans, but he also builds credibility as a broadcaster himself too, right, Marcus?
Yeah, man, I'm actually loving it, you know, and doing it and sharing it and our stories and listening to us talk about, you know, Illini basketball, man. That's real cool with me. I love it, especially with this year's team, man, getting us back on track, being recognized again as a basketball powerhouse.
And there'll be a lot of times where I'll give him some ideas that these are the talking points that I think we should be talking about. And Marcus will be like, yeah, I can go along with that. I'll send him stats. I'll take a screenshot on my phone. And I'll be like, you know, I only scored 9 points against Loyola. I think that's important to mention that. The Illini were down 9-2. I don't want to harp on that game, but what I'm saying is I'll send him some information just to make sure that we're all on the same page. And then there'll be a conversation that we'll have during that podcast, and it'll spark something in my mind. I'll be like, we got to do another one. And I'll ask him questions like, What are the accommodations like at a hotel when you're going to the NCAA tournament? The one seed always has the greatest hotel. The 16 seed, not so much. Is that true? And then, you know, Marcus will answer that for you.
In Marcus's era, though, the Illini were always, you know, highly ranked. So I don't know that he has any experience in the 16 seed.
Well, he had a bad experience with a hotel in Seattle. You want to tell that one, Marcus?
When Patrick, you know, told me that story, I mean, I was like for real? I said, because when we went to Seattle and the Final Four, we were staying in something like the Red Roof Inn. And I remember going to watching Michigan, and then after the game, we go to their hotel. And I'm like, how you guys staying at the Hilton? And we were staying at something like a motel. But I knew Coach Henson was trying to get us away from all the hoopla, and he wanted us to stay focused. But I was like, before, in Minneapolis, we were staying in a nice hotel connected to the mall. Why change it now? But, you know, who knows, man? Who knows?
Well, you guys were like the Beatles, man. And to this day, we're talking 31, 32 years later, we're still talking about that team. That tells you something.
Yeah, that was a team. I got to be honest with you. Now, I get into arguments with Illini fans all the time, fellow Illini fans, about which team is the best of all time. And it's funny, but I really look at
Whiz Kids.
I'm not that old, thank God. So we'll have to put them on a shelf and just say we'll talk about them later. But, yeah, they never entered into any of my discussion. But the argument of the 04-05 versus the 88-89 team is a classic. And while I think there was a lot of great basketball players on the 04-05 team, I honestly don't think that game would be that close. I think the 88-89 team wins that by 12, 15. And then I have to dive for cover because you know how the recency bias is, you know. And since 04-05, people, you know, more people remember that than – you know, the 88-89 team. I have to duck for cover and kind of scooch out of the room. But I don't see, with the size of that 88-89 team, I don't see how I don't think they could keep up. I don't know what you think, Marcus. You're probably biased.
Which, you know, I'm definitely going to ride with the 89 team. And then if you look at it, the matchups, you can break the matchups down point guard for point guard. Darren, Stephen Bardo, say they type out a little bit. You know, Darren's what, 6'3", 6'3"-ish? Mm-hmm. Steve Bardo, 6'5". Then you go to the two guard. You got D. Brown or Luther Head. Kendall Gill, 6'5". You know, so who wins that battle?
Yep.
And then you go to the small forward. That could be Nick Anderson or Kenny Bowles. Whichever one you want to put at that spot, because that's what they were. We were all interchangeable. Who would match up with those guys? That would be the key to me, who would match up with either Nick or Kenny Battle. And I don't think nobody on that 05 team could have matched up with them.
No.
And then no, you got there's Lowell no
Hamilton.
Way.
Then you got Lowell Hamilton in the middle, was super freakish athlete, you know, at the center position. And then you got us coming off the bench. The guys are coming off the bench. You got Larry Smith, myself, Irvin Small. So that those three guys coming off the bench could have started for any team in the Big Ten.
Not too many guys get to say they made, you know, never nervous, Purvis. Nervous. You know?
And I looked at that 88-89 team. Even though I know Louisville won a title, you know, earlier in the decade, but I looked at that as being like the ultimate Louisville team, because you had interchangeable athletes at every position. But the difference I thought that the 88-89 Illini were better basketball players, but just as good athletes. And I remember watching that team. I mean, so many memories of that year and that era. And I just thought that team was spectacular. And I just don't see how the 0405 team would be able to keep how do you defend that much bigger? And then athletically speaking, I mean, obviously Darren Williams is a great basketball player, you know, no
doubt.
Athletically speaking, keeping up with, I mean, like a bad athlete on the 88-89 team would be like Superman on another team, you know? So I always thought, now I did think this year's Illini had one thing that would make it hard on any Illini. They have a Kofi.
Yeah, they do.
And I did think to myself, you know, there's a lot of things that you could stop on this team, but he would embody a very unique obstacle in trying to slow down. Now, what do you think you would have done, Marcus? How would you guys have dealt with a guy like Kofi in the middle?
Well, you know what? I'll say this. You remember Dwayne Shinsis?
Yes.
Played at the University of Florida. He was 7 foot. Kenny Battle and the rest of the gang made him look silly. You know, we had the mindset, even if you were taller, we still gonna challenge you. You know, he probably would have got in foul trouble, you know, playing against us, because Kenny Battle would have tried to dunk on him. Nick would have tried to dunk on him. I would have tried it. Everybody on our squad would have tried. We would have challenged him.
Yep.
You know, and for me, just watching him, now don't get me wrong, I love this team, but he couldn't run up and down the court with our guys. He would have got tired. He'd have to come out for subs and substitutions and get back in the game. It wouldn't have been fair to him. But now on the flip side, once he gets that ball down low, we have to go double team him. We have to go double team him because he's a beast down low.
Now, Marcus, you brought up something key here. Kofi, his conditioning. Something's got to be done because let's just put this out there. There's a lot of talk that he wants to play in the NBA, and he's probably going to put his name out there once again. He's probably going to get the feelers out there and see that he's not a first round guy, so he's going to come back. If you're coaching a guy like Kofi, are you conditioning the hell out of him too? Because there's a lot of times during this tournament, Big Ten tournament, March Madness, the guy was not getting across the court quick enough.
He's a big guy. You look at him, he's big, man. If he lose weight, then he's not the same beast, you know, down low. He's more of a perimeter type center who's going to have to work on a jump shot. What do you do in those situations? The game has changed, so I don't think he can lose, you know, the weight and go out on the perimeter and handle the basketball like a Dirk Nowitzki or someone like that. He is who he is. He's going to have to figure it out. You know, maybe working, you know, on his jump shot, you know, by himself. But he definitely is going to have to figure it out. Like, how can he run up and down the court and stay in the game for 10 minutes, 12 minutes without being taken out?
Yeah, and I think this year, if he decides, obviously, to come back, and I do think that it would be in his best interest for a long-term NBA career to work on his skill sets. Because right now he's a back-to-the-basket center. If he can face the basket, now some of those fouls that they don't call when he's got his back to the basket, they're going to have to call when somebody's doing that into his, you know, chest and face. And obviously that you have to be able to shoot better. But I really wonder, last year, you know, he wasn't in Champaign, didn't have Fletch all through the summer. And I wonder what we will see, because he is a physical specimen, and Fletch seems to be able to make guys bigger, stronger, faster. I'm wondering if an offseason with Fletch might be another thing to convince NBA teams that maybe this he really is worth taking a risk on. The other thing I think about, and of course you played in the NBA, so I'll lean on your expertise here, but maybe he gets a shot in the NBA because there's nobody else in the league like him right now. Even if you use him for 18, 20 minutes a game, that could be a pretty devastating 18 or 20 minutes if he's deciding to go through people in the paint. Is that something that could happen again?
Yeah, it definitely can happen, Mike, because, you know, they do play zone too. So that means he won't be guarding those athletic bigs if they decide to say, you know what, we can get some minutes and rest some of our bigs, let big fella Kofi come in and clog up the middle a little bit in our zone, and then maybe we can use him. But yeah, he has potential to be something special, and that's what the NBA is basing a lot of stuff on anyway nowadays, that, you know, potential. If he gets with the right program, maybe they can develop him into something later on down the road.
Harry Carey kind of said it best back in the old day was, he said, potential is a French word that means you ain't done doo-doo yet. I do see a lot of that. I mean, even I very much enjoyed Myers Leonard, but I was shocked when, you know, when he went pro. I thought he would be a first round pick just because they draft on potential. But the game has changed over the last 10 years. Kofi probably would have been, you know, in our era, he probably would have been a top three pick because they had the big aircraft carriers in the middle and the game would wait for them. Nowadays, it's a different game out there. And I marvel at the talent. You know, I've got three sons who the last one's going to be a senior next year and who played basketball. And I marvel at the skill sets of the kids nowadays versus my era, just in the extra, you know, the shooting touch, the ball handling, the things they have to do that in our era you could kind of specialize and get away maybe with a little more. Now, you're doing some coaching and have a youth organization for sports, don't you, Marcus?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think those type of organizations where kids can get some guidance and get some help is really important.
Yeah, Mike, when I started this, my program, Liberty Edge, I was getting, you know, a lot of parents talking to me about, I want to play on this AAU team. And I said, well, let me stop you right there. I am not an AAU program. I'm a travel ball team, travel basketball team. AAU, you got to register under the AAU umbrella. You got to do this, this, and that. I said, I'm not that. I said, but I do want to help kids understand the game of basketball. That's why I put the edge behind my last name. So I wanted to give them that edge. A lot of kids and a lot of parents don't understand how this really works. They think that once you're on a team, you automatically going to get a scholarship. And I said, nope, that doesn't work like that. I said, but what I will do, I will develop them. I will get them better. And once you feel that we both feel that they are there, we'll video them and we'll start sending it out to colleges. But I am not going to put my name on something if they're not ready. And then the parents look at me like, why am I here then? I said, again, I just told you, I'm here to help and develop them. And if they get better, then I will take them to the next level. There's so many programs out here, Mike, and you probably see it a lot, that will lie to these kids and lie to these parents and say, you're going to be on my team, we're going to showcase you. And they sitting on the bench for two or three summers and not playing. And then all of a sudden they come back to your program saying, can you help us? I said, if you'd have stayed here, them 3 years, he could have got better and better and better. But you decided to go with the elite programs that you see on TV, the Nikes, the Under Armours, the Adidas, and it didn't work out. So that's one of the reasons why I started Liberty Edge. I'm not trying to be the best program around. I know who I am. I know what I'm all about. And that's it.
Now, how long have you run that now?
8 years.
Wow.
8 years.
That's an eternity. I mean, if you can keep a program going in this, you know, it seems like a lot of the big programs, they have their sponsorships that they're going for. And that seems to be maybe the driving force. But to get a team 8 years and you're not trying to be on the circuit particularly, and I mean, that's pretty incredible. And I know I used to run teams and we would take, like in a city like Bloomington Normal, we would be like the second best team in town. All the really good players, I guess you might call us third, because the best players would go with a Chicago team.
Mm-hmm.
The second level would be like the best of the town. And then we would be like the third team. And basically, though, it was about playing as a unit. So we would have a team that, you know, we would have 11 players and you'd have people from 6 points to 11 points a game. And anybody could contribute in any game. And we were looking to win, not have somebody with 32 points or not showcase somebody to, you know, this is what I can do. But we would win as a unit. How do you tend to run things, you know, when you've got a team together like that?
Well, this is what I tell them. When they sign up, I said, sure, I want to win. I said, but I know that's not going to happen every time, right? So my job is to get you better. You know, that's the key, you know, and have fun. You know, I don't want you guys to hate the game of basketball. If you put in the work, I'm going to put in the work. If you come in lackadaisical and you think I'm going to, you know, be all rah, rah, rah and happy, no, you're going to bring my spirit down. So we need to keep each other's spirit up so we can get in here and get out quick and fast.
Can I just say something, too? The credibility that you build on social media, too, the videos that you put out, whether they're on Instagram or on Facebook. This guy's, what, 51 years old? Sorry, Marcus, everybody can look it up. But this guy is getting out there and shooting hoops at 8 o'clock in the morning. And he'll shoot, I am not, this is not hyperbole, Mike, he'll shoot 50 shots, maybe 100 shots. I've counted. I counted 100. And this guy made 87 of the 100. And he's just shooting the ball. And that, to me, if I was a paying customer, I would be like, I'm sold. Just show my kid how to do something like that. That's all. And if he can play defense, icing on the cake.
And a lot of people say this, Patrick and Mike, that I don't broadcast my – well, people say I don't brag about myself enough. Sometimes that could be to a default for me, because people are like, I didn't know you was a McDonald All-American. I didn't know you were the number one high school player. I didn't know you played on the Final Four team. I didn't know you got drafted into the NBA, because I don't broadcast it like that. But my wife, you know, she said we need to start doing that a little bit more, because now these people that has these other programs, these coaches that have these other programs, we'll put these elite titles on these programs and look at you like you're not nothing. You know, like, come on, man, you've been there and done that. So we need to start promoting that a little bit more.
And could you imagine, though, when you're a parent in Sarasota, Florida, maybe you're not an Illinois fan, and you start, like, looking up everything on you, and there's, like, a treasure trove. There's pictures. There's video. You mean there's a guy played in the Final Four? You mean he was the greatest basketball player in the country when he came out of high school? Are you – what? Okay, yeah, I'm sold.
Yeah, that's some rare air. I mean, I can remember when you committed, because as Illini fans, because again, I'm a couple years older than you, but we were like, oh yeah, we got the number one recruit in the country, and it was like it was kind of like we felt like we were owed one, because everybody thought we were going to get Ben Wilson,
mm-hmm.
And again, I'm going to give my age away here, but
well, I remember it too, and I'm only 41. Yeah.
Well, there used to be something called the Prairie State Games in Illinois, and we went there again. You know, guys from Muhammad. We were a good basketball team, but we lost. We went like, I don't know. We averaged 7 losses a year, so whatever that'd be. You know, 22-7, something like that. We were decent. We thought we were going to play Thad Matta's team.
Hoopston, yeah.
To go to state, and then we got upset before that, so we didn't do our end, so we kind of finished the year like this year's Illini's team, a little bit disappointing, because we didn't know if we were going to beat Hoopston, but we thought we could make it to them. But I remember in Prairie State games, we went there and watched Ben Wilson play, and in my opinion, one person's opinion, he was the second best non-pro I've ever seen live. The first being Magic Johnson when he was in college. And then I'd put Ben Wilson in that category. And so obviously when the tragedy around him happened, we were like, oh, we would have got him. Now I have no idea where he would have went to college, but as an Illinois fan, you like to think it would have been.
My gut tells me, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
So then we felt like we, you know, that he should have been there. And so when we got Marcus, it's like, we got our number one. We got our number one. And we were so excited, you know. And I know it's kind of, for you, you're like, okay, this is getting creepy. But, you
know. Well, it's the truth. I've told him this too, Mike. And that's how I found out who he was. I remember telling you, Marcus, that the first time I'd ever heard of you was during March Madness. I think it was your senior year. And my dad was off that week because he was a plumber pipe fitter, and there was just not a lot of work then that week. But our thing every year was to watch March Madness on TV, whether it was the IHSA tournament or if it was March Madness with the NCAA. And he told me, he's like, this guy right here, Marcus Liberty, he's going to go to Illinois. And I put two and two together because I was like 6 at the time. I'm like, you mean he's going to play at the Illinois court? They're playing at Assembly Hall? This is it. This is awesome. I want to see more. And then it came to fruition. And of course, the whole allure of King High School, like you guys had like the all the cool get up, you know, the cool shoes. Your coach was a genius, by the way, getting you guys all in line like that. I mean, at the time I lived in Rantoul, Illinois. I wanted to play basketball at King.
You were up at Rantoul. We used to tease the Air Force guys. We'd run into them on campus and we'd be like, what'd you guys do wrong? And they're like, what do you mean? What did we do wrong? And we were like, well, if you can't shoot them, you should loot them.
I have not heard that one, but I was only like 8 or 9 when the base closed. So
yeah. But no, we were so excited. And then that team, you know, I can't tell you enough when we watched, I mean, that 89 team was inspirational. And I still think a lot of polls have it as the best team that never won a title. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good in a one game elimination tournament. That's one of those things. Let me ask you a couple questions then. What is it like? Do you get to go back to the University of Illinois and watch games very often? How do you approach that? Because obviously you come back, it's kind of a big deal, you know, that royalty of that great year. How do you approach going back there, and how often do you do that?
The last time we was back there was the 30 year anniversary, and we had fun, all the guys. This is the first time we had everybody. Everyone was back. Lowell Hamilton, we haven't seen him in a while, and he comes back, and we are all happy, and just, and the fans, they were talking and just cheering, we were so excited. We like, man, we just here to watch the game, but when they called us out there on the floor, it just reminded us again how special that team really was. To see fans that we remember, you know, they're a little older now, but to see them at the games, just to come and watch or say hello or get that autograph again that they probably missed back then, to get it now and say, Marcus or Kendall, thank you. We really appreciate you guys, because you guys share some light on this little small town and made us all proud to be Illinoisans. And you can't make this stuff up, man. We were like rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear that, it just put a big smile on my face to let me know that people did appreciate, you know, that team.
Now, the question I have is really a hard one, because when you went through that, you know, you were so young. Did you, at the time, did you appreciate it, or did you understand like what it meant, or was it just like another day? How was it like to go through that?
We was taking it game by game, and we didn't. I mean, we knew that we had something special, but I don't think we all. I mean, we all now can say, yeah, we knew we was going to be this and that. But when we are all playing, you know, and practicing, we didn't. I don't think we actually knew that we could be one of the best teams to ever come out of the university. And when that started to happen, and now we look back, but before, let's go back to before, I never thought that we, especially me, you know, understanding coming from Chicago, playing at King High School, and being the number one player, having the ball in your hands a lot, and now you don't. So it was a lot of adjustments that each one of us had to make, because we were star players in our own right, you know, at our high school. You got to own up a lot to Coach Henson for orchestrating that and getting us all to buy in to becoming one unit and not being separate. Because there's a lot of times, you know, you see programs, they got one star player. Yeah. We had eight star players. Really, you really look at it, we had 8 star players who could step up and make something happen at any time. So for one, we had to buy into that. And Coach Henson did a great job, along with Jimmy Collins and the other coaches that we had, to let us understand that, man, we have something special. So they had to keep saying it over and over again. I remember hearing it. Dick Nagy, man, we can be special. Man, we got something special. You know, so when you hear it, you're like, okay, some Kenny Battle in practice does a dunk. Whoa. Nick Anderson comes right back down with another dunk. Whoa. And then Lowell Hamilton. And then it just, Kendall Gill gets a steal. And this is all in practice. So can you imagine if social media was what it is now, back then?
Wow.
And
yeah,
it would have been so many highlights, man, out there about somebody getting dunked on in practice.
I can, and the funny thing is for some reason, Illinois seems to get every 16 years, not only do we get great basketball players, but we get great basketball players with charisma. Because that Flying Illini team, I don't care what's his face from Michigan tries to act like the Fab Five, because it's like the Illinois team, that's who Michigan was acting like, you know.
And Mike,
good point.
I don't want to interrupt you, right? But I just want to say something. Chris Webber actually said that. He said our team actually looked up to UNLV and the Flying Illini.
Yep.
That we looked up to them and we wanted to be like them.
Exactly. And then you go to D. Brown in that era and everybody was there. And then this year didn't end up that well, but Io and Kofi had the imagination of kids across the country as well. Unfortunately, they didn't get to go quite as far to really make that thing maybe cement. But it is cool how the teams from Illinois, when they're good, everything goes up, and people forget, but so far this year, the highest rated basketball game of this college season was Illinois versus Ohio State. And when you go back to look what the 04-05 ratings were, they were through the roof. And you go back to 88-89, the same things. Somehow Illinois not only gets talent, but they get those players who have that charisma, that sparkle in their eye that catches the imagination of the public.
I loved Champaign. Champaign was a special place, man. And when you're winning, you know, of course, everybody loves you. And just let's speak a little bit about this year's team. You know, when everybody was, you know, happy, you know, that, you know, Kofi came back, Io came back, and Io was talking about unfinished business. And I was caught up in it. I got caught up into the hype.
Good.
That we gonna win a national championship. But remember, we all was saying, let's get us back to the tournament. That's all we want. You know, we want to get, you know, our school back into the mix. And then once they started doing all this stuff at the beginning of the year, started winning the games, we started saying, you know what, we can win a national championship. But just 2 years ago, we wasn't even thought about being in any tournament.
You know, we were irrelevant. You're right.
Right. Right. So I'm proud of the guys, man, and what they, you know, accomplished this year. Sure, did we want to see them go farther, and it didn't happen. So we got next year, man. Build on next year.
Yeah, and I did my rant on the last episode of Illini Guys because I heard people talking about, you know, will Io's legacy be hurt by what happened? And, you know, my response was, here's a guy who came to Illinois when nobody cared if anybody came to Illinois. That's even worse than being hated, was when people yawn and don't even realize you're in the business anymore. And he came here and he said, I was going to take this team back to the Final Four, you know, and relevance. And, you know, maybe he didn't get to that. But if he doesn't show up, there's no Kofi. If he doesn't show up, there's no Curbelo. And this program is where we're at today in this incarnation, because of Io making that decision that wasn't, people forget, it wasn't a popular decision when he went to the Illini. Most people are like, why is he going there? They haven't been good since D. Brown. And I kind of go a little more the way Marcus does, but this was the most fun I've had for a decade and a half. It made me feel a little bit like back, because the way they were throwing down dunks takes me back to the 88-89 team. So I kind of, even though I'm old and creaky and, you know, breaking down at 53, I felt like a kid again watching this team. And I remember going into the, you know, going into the Assembly Hall, not the State Farm Center. And I remember the night, you know, this was even before you got there, Marcus, but I remember the night Illinois State came in to play at the Illini Classic. And we're all yelling, if you can't go to school, go to state, the whole evening, you know. Ooh. And I'm in high school at the time, but we're chanting that from the minute that Rick Lamb and the Illinois State team walks on until we're hoarse at the end of the game. I mean, you're talking, you know, Eddie Johnson in that era all the way through the Flying Illini. And for the first time this year, we had that great era, the self, through the first 3 years of Weber. And I feel like we're on the verge of getting another one of those eras going. And so I'll always be thankful for Io for being the guy who was the first one to step into the vortex and be willing to say, come on, pressure. I'm here. I want it, you know. And I look at that and I feel like, especially when they were wearing the jerseys that looked like the old Fighting Illini jersey, how could you not love that?
You're right. Io made that decision to say, you know what, I'm going to do something different. Everybody's expecting me to go to some Kansas or, you know, some powerhouse, you know, yep, program that goes to the tournament every single year. Well, since I'm right up the road, I live in Chicago, why not go down to Champaign and see what we can do? You know, I'll be the first one to step up and commit, and I'll sign. And next thing you know, we get another. Then we get another. And now you see the finished product. You know, yeah, they took their bumps and bruises early on his freshman year, but then it came, came, and came. Then now his junior year, look what happens. You know, we yep. get to the tournament. And, then, you know, we know they would have got to the tournament last year, too.
Absolutely. That's the thing. They didn't get a chance last year, and I think they would have got a chance last year. Maybe they would have had the tournament experience because the guys were just gassed. I mean, let's face it, guys. They were Zooming for months. They haven't seen other people. You have to do all this schoolwork while you're in a tournament. You're probably getting tested at 7 a.m. every day for the coronavirus. You have zero tournament experience. Every game is a grind in the Big Ten. I am done arguing with other fans about this. This team was just tired. And I'm just thankful that, like you said, that Io came, laid the foreground, because the guys that are there now can take the ball and run with it.
Well, and I can only imagine. He had the opposite pressure of what Marcus must have had, because what would have happened in the state of Illinois, Marcus, if you had decided not to go to Illinois?
Probably would have burned, it would probably burn my high school jersey.
Because, I mean, there was so much. I mean, there was so much. Everybody was like, he has to go to Illinois.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if he would have, the only thing I can think of is, when, again, this was one of my first memories, and still I wonder what would have happened. But I still remember Russell Cross. You know, we all thought he was going to go to Illinois. And you're thinking, man, Russell Cross. And I think he would have been there around the Derek Harper, you know, mm-hmm. era. I'd have to go back and look. But so we were seeing like visions of a national title and everything. And then he didn't go, went to Purdue. Ugh. Anyway, you know, when Marcus said he was going to, you know, be going to Illinois, we were so excited. And then it was like, you know, we got our guy, you know, because there was, we still had some of that, you know, Russell Cross hangover.
Well, here's an interesting story that Marcus, you should tell, because I love this one, about why you chose Illinois over Syracuse. Because Syracuse was a tough sell to you, right? I mean, tell us about what Coach Boeheim was saying to you, and then how you had a talk with Coach Collins.
Yeah, it was close, man. You know, with the recruiting process, I saw a lot of Jim Boeheim in my high school summer league games. Saw a lot of Lou Henson and Jimmy Collins. So I went to my visit, took my visit to Syracuse, and I'm like, I like this. I was watching it practice. They throwing alley-oops at Duncan. I mean, he letting the guys dribble up and down the court. Man, I like this. So he calls me up to the office. You know, we talk. He says, what schools are you really, you know, thinking? What's your finals? You know, I said, man, Syracuse and Illinois. He said, well, let me tell you about Illinois. And I said, okay, I'm listening. He said, you go to Illinois, they're going to stick you in the post. And you come here, I'm going to let you play anyway. Now, Mike, a lot of people don't know this story. I shared it some, you know, I think, Patrick, didn't I share it on our podcast?
Yes, you did. And if you still want to look it up, you can Google Give Me Liberty.
I said, coming. I gave them a verbal commitment.
Oh, wow.
Here it is, kid who just wanted to, you know, play basketball. And he was telling me all the right things. So I'm like, I'm coming. So my high school coach at the time, Sonny Cox, who's no longer here, he says, the assistant coach, Wayne Morgan, I remember everything. Wayne Morgan says, your high school coach said we didn't have a chance of getting you. I'm going to call him. I said, don't call him, because I know what's going to happen. I said, don't call him. So he called Coach Cox. And Coach Cox says, don't sign anything. You get back on the plane, I'll pick you up at the airport. You're going to your visit to Illinois. All right. I didn't sign anything because I trusted my high school coach. Yep. I was caught up in the moment, you know, very excited. But then Coach Collins started calling me. He said, man, you know, I'm from Syracuse and you're going to do me like that? It's no way I can lose this battle. You know, I'm at the University of Illinois. You down in Syracuse. You up to Syracuse. I can't lose this battle, man. So if he was still here, Coach Collins would tell you the story better than I could. He said, I am not losing to Syracuse, you know. So I said, Coach, you know I respect you. And I went down to my visit, saw the guys, you know, hung out with them. And Nick, you know, of course, Nick was there, Kendall, they all in my ear, man. Come on, man, what you talking about Syracuse, man? You need to be down here with us, man. And then I started thinking, I said, yeah, how's my family going to see me? You know, I'm all the way in Syracuse. They're not going to be able to come to Syracuse, but they can drive 2.5 hours to come and see me in Champaign. So I said, all right. So my high school coach started talking more to me, and I said, you know what? I'm going to Illinois. I'm coming to Illinois. So I signed early because I said I want to get it over with. I don't want to have to go through all the process of the end of the summer, spring and summer, waiting to sign, and then you get more college coaches coming in. So I said I want to sign and have a good high school senior year. So I committed early, and the rest is history.
The other question I have for you is, what was going through your mind when you guys faced Syracuse in the tournament?
It was a lot of anxiety on my part because I was like, I want to impress, you know, I want to go out and let them know that, you know, I should have been over there probably, but I'm here. So let me show you what I'm all about. Nervous. I didn't play well in that game at all. But on the flip side, Billy Owens came and he didn't have a great game. So I think it was kind of, people were kind of trying to compare the two of us, you know, Billy Owens, Marcus Liberty, and he didn't have a good game either that game. But
man, could they get up and down the court.
Yes, they could.
I really appreciate you guys taking the time here on Eye on the Illini. Patrick, give us all the places that people can find the Illinois Players Show just as we close here so that when they're looking for it, they know where to go.
You go to YouTube, you type in Fan Media Network, you can type in Marcus Liberty, you can type in Patrick Quinn, and if you go to our latest show, we posted it yesterday, so that would be the 24th as we record this. So it's a Fan Media Network on YouTube. There's also an app, Fan Media Network app. It's the Illinois Players Show, I should say, too.
Yes, the Illinois Players Show, yep. And Marcus, if you could tell us about, just give us another overview of Liberty Edge and if there's any camps or anything you have going on, just for anybody who might be down in the Florida area, just to let them know what's going on.
Yeah, Liberty Edge basketball. We have travel ball. We have camps. I also do private lessons, so feel free to contact me. I also have a website, marcusliberty.com. Check it out.
Now I could just have you fly to Texas and you could do some shooting instruction for my son. I would love to see that jump shot with him. So with that, everybody, this has been Eye on the Illini with Mike Kegley. Certainly what we ask you to do is, if you enjoyed the podcast, please give us a 5-star review. It does help us out. And additionally, if you get the opportunity, please go to IlliniGuys.com. and subscribe. You will get the best inside information. And we're lucky enough to have friends like Patrick Quinn and Marcus Liberty who will come and help out us on our podcast and give you a little taste of some Illini insight as well. Thank you, everyone, and have a fantastic day.
The Eye on the Illini podcast is a production of JM Talent Productions. I'm Patrick Quinn. You can find my podcast, The Illinois Players Show, with Flying Illini member Marcus Liberty on fanmedianetwork.com and YouTube.